For our scripture reading today, can you please turn in your Bibles to Psalm 107? And while you're doing that, the sermon for today was prepared for us by Reverend Eric Fenema. He chose this lengthy psalm as a backdrop to Lord's Day 10, where we learn about the providence of God. So we turn to Psalm 107. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he has redeemed from the hand of the enemy and gathered out from the lands, from the east and from the west, from the north and from the south. They wandered in the wilderness in a desolate way. They found no city to dwell in. Hungry and thirsty, their soul fainted in them. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them out of their distress. And he led them forth by the right way, that they may go to a city for a dwelling place. Oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works, to the children of men, for he satisfied the longing soul and fills the hungry soul with goodness. Those who sat in darkness and in the shadow of death, bound in affliction and irons, because they rebelled against the word of God and despised the counsel of the Most High. Therefore, he brought down their heart with labor. They fell down, and there was none to help. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them out of their distress. He brought them out of darkness and the shadow of death and broke their chains in pieces. Oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. For he has broken the gates of bronze and cut the bars of iron in two, fools because of their transgression, and because of their iniquities they were afflicted. Their soul abhorred all manner of food, and they drew near to the gates of death. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them out of their distress. He sent his words and healed them and delivered them from their destructions. Oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. Let them sacrifice the sacrifices of thanksgiving and declare his works with rejoicing. Those who go down to the sea in ships, who do business on great waters, they see the works of the Lord and his wonders in the deep. For he commands and raises stormy wind, which lifts up waves of the sea. They mount up to heaven, to the heavens. They go up, down again to the depths. Their soul melts because of trouble. They reel to and fro and stagger like a drunken man and are at their wit's end. When they cry out to the Lord in their trouble, he brings them out of their distress. He calms the storm so that its waves are still. Then they are glad because they are quiet. So he guides them to their desired haven. Oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. Let them exalt him also in the assembly of the people and praise him in the company of the elders. He turns rivers into wilderness and the water springs into dry ground, a fruitful land into barrenness, for the wickedness of those who dwell in it. He turns a wilderness into pools of water and dry land into water springs. There he makes the hungry dwell, that they may establish a city for a dwelling place and sow fields and plant vineyards, that they may yield the fruitful harvest. He also blesses them, and they multiply greatly, and he does not let their cattle decrease. When they are diminished and brought low, through oppression, affliction, and sorrow, he pours contempt on princes and causes them to wander in wildernesses where there is no way. Yet he sets the poor on high, far from affliction, and makes their families like a flock. The righteous see it and rejoice, and all iniquity stops its mouth. Whoever is wise will observe these things, and they will understand the loving kindness of the Lord. Blessed be the word of the Lord to our hearts. And now, if you would turn to the Heidelberg Catechism, question and answer number 27 and 28. On page 876, Lord's Day 10. Where we're asked the question, what do you understand by the providence of God? Providence is the almighty and ever-present power of God by which he upholds, as with his hand, heaven and earth and all creatures, and so rules them that leaf and blade, rain and drought, fruitful and lean years, food and drink, health and sickness, prosperity and poverty, all things, in fact, come to us, not by chance, from his fatherly hand. How does, and question and answer 28, how does the knowledge of God's creation and providence help us? We can be patient when things go against us, thankful when things go well, and for the future, well, we can have good confidence in our faithful God and Father, and nothing will separate us from his love. All creatures are so completely in his hand that without his will, they can neither move nor be moved. People of God, congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ. As in Acts 17, the Apostle Paul points the men of Athens and us today to the importance of knowing God. The Catechism, furthermore, takes us one step beyond just knowing God, but also stresses the importance of knowing God's providential care for his people. Our passage and confession say we must know and fear the God of providence. What do you understand by providence? The church's historic, time-honored answer is the almighty and ever-present power of God by which he upholds as with his hand and so rules them that all things come to us not by chance, but by his fatherly hand. It seems in our day, the church lives in the midst of confusion and stress in this area. In a time when she needs a sovereign God, she's doubting and hesitates to express her confession of the scripture's teaching concerning providence. So then, what do we understand by providence of God? Lord's Day 10 is very clear. God the Father, for Christ's sake, upholds all things so that nothing comes to us by chance, but from his Father's hands, his fatherly hand, by his mercy. Providence is not just a theological statement that God upholds and rules all things, Providence is the living faith that God as Father upholds and rules for Christ's sake. Providence is the belief that my Father, for Christ's sake, thinks of me. Dear people of God, providence then becomes very personal. It is a gift of grace which God gives only to his covenant people, only to the church. Only within the church can you confess my God and my Father. When God intervenes in economic life and brings hunger, or when God throws nations into political crisis or war, and as an aside, as God allows COVID-19 in our day, he is acting as our Father. Our only comfort is found not in oneself, nor in self-made miracles, nor in the national leaders, but in God our Father. God our Father never forgets his children because he has made a covenant with us. What then is providence? God always thinks of me, his covenant child. God does everything for my sake and for the sake of Christ. Do you believe this? We must all believe this in faith. If it rains, it is for you and for God's people. If there is inflation, recession, prosperity, or difficulty, it is God doing things for his people. If there is war or political crisis in the world, it is a result of God opening his fatherly hand in concern for his children, for me, his covenant child. We must believe that everything happens in this world for the sake of God's purposes with his church. A star fades, the wind blows, then disease strikes. Yes, in all these things, God is speaking to his children, saying, look, look, here am I, your heavenly Father, with my open hand and my open heart. The sun shines, the earth turns, the planets follow their courses. Food gives out, news conferences are held, earthquakes occur. Each new joy, every new sorrow, grief or anxiety means the Father's hand is caring for his children. His covenantal mercy is never taken away from us. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever. That is providence, the mercy of the Lord. Psalm 107 teaches us to confess this mercy of the Lord in three ways. God's mercy then is seen, first of all, in our misery. Secondly, in our deliverance. And thirdly, in our gratitude. Firstly, then, God's mercy and providence are first of all seen in the crisis of misery. Psalm 107 teaches the Old and the New Testament church to praise God for his providential mercy in the crisis of life. The psalmist states his theme in the very first verse. Then he works his theme out and describes its effect throughout life. His conclusion, whoever is wise, let him take heed to these things. Let men consider the steadfast love of the Lord. Who is wise? He who gives heed to the whole psalm about God's mercy. He who thinks about the acts on the mercies of the Lord. What is the psalmist doing? In his conclusion, he has come back to the very first verse. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever. The wise man is the one who, in critical circumstances and situations in life, confesses his trust in the mercy of the Lord. This is the only way to view life according to the Bible. It is literal and it is practical. We must understand that covenantal love and mercy, however, are not what many suppose them to be today. Most people think of a God of mercy or love as a good-natured, generous, doting God who fulfills all our wishes and caters to every whim. No, not so. Mercy in the Bible is this, and mark it well. God is exercising what is best for us and what will keep us faithful in his covenant. Mercy is the Lord preserving us in everything for his purposes, never leaving us in the lurch. Mercy is what the Catechism confesses as providence. God upholding and ruling all things so that things come to us from a fatherly hand. But that includes misery, crisis, evil, and adversity. How many live today? How many live in spiritual weakness and with little faith? Because they have a heavenly Father who only brings them the desired and enjoyable things. They receive the sunshine, the food and the drink, the fruitful and healthy years from God. But in the face of evil things, sickness, poverty, hardship, cold, hunger, danger and adversity, drought and lean years, they lose sight of their heavenly Father. But the confession claims God's mercy, first of all, in the hard times. These things which darken our lives are a testimony to God's covenant mercy, just as much or even more so as the rich man's wealth. God's mercy is not blocked in misery. So the Catechism calls us to be patient in adversity. God intervenes at times in our lives in an oppressive way. Why? Because his covenantal mercy, which desires to make us thankful, patient, and confident in all things in our Father and God, who is faithful in all circumstances. God wants us to see in all things, in every part of our life, his covenantal mercy. It is sad that providence has been buried in modern Christianity under the passion of man for the spectacular and the miraculous. We must learn that the scriptures tell us providence and mercy do not mean all things always go well, just the way I want them to go. The Bible corrects these misconceptions. Psalm 107 declares God's mercy and providence in life's sorrows, in grief, in distress, in foreboding gloom that is almost too much for us to bear. Read the psalm again for yourself. It describes misery in a thousand different forms. Why? To teach us to view life as God's providence. Some wander in the desert waste, finding no way to the promised city to dwell in. Hungry and thirsty, their soul fainted within them. Some sat in darkness and in gloom, prisoners in affliction and in irons, for they had rebelled against the words of God and spurned the counsel of the Most High. Some were sick through their sinful ways, and because of their iniquities suffered affliction. Some went down to the sea in ships, doing business on the great waters. They saw the great deeds of the Lord, his wondrous works in the deep, for he commanded and raised the stormy wind. Their courage melted away. What perception of human misery? Why misery? Why storms that destroy? Why political crisis and wars and rumors of wars? The psalmist, he knows the answer. He knows the reason. Israel has rebelled against the words of God. Through their sinful ways, God pours contempt on princes and makes them wander on a path that leads to destruction. Why misery? Because of sin. Sin is man's problem. Now, this word of the Lord speaks to the church today, for the political realm, to the family and personal levels, from wars, terrorisms, and hunger to nervous breakdowns, abortions, stress and strain of morality, man on the edge of life. They loathed all kinds of food. They drew near to the gates of death. They reeled and staggered like drunken men. They were at their wits' end. All misery is rooted in sin, man's sin. But the word of the Lord speaks to all this misery and declares that God has power over all and uses these things to call all men to believe and pray for his mercy. God the Father's mercy is forever. God the Father, in all terror, horror, and unpleasantness, directly intervenes in our life. It's not just from man or because of the things or circumstances of our environment. It is not outside of God's providential hand. God the Father deals with each of us, his children. In the world of seeming chaos and crisis after crisis, there is only one. There is not one who escapes his eye. God deals with his children precisely, and precisely the right moment, for precisely the right amount of time, with precisely the right severity that is necessary for his child and for Christ's sake. But why then do we reel in times of uncertainty? Why do we argue the comforting truth? God the Father provides his mercy in your misery. No sorrow, no grief, no anxiety. Not one thing has happened to you or will happen to you apart from your Heavenly Father's perfect oversight. God interferes and intervenes in your life as your heavenly covenant Father. He has not made his church helpless and dependent on him throughout her history. Has he not? Has he not in the scriptures revealed how often he brought his people low to their knees, letting them wander in their own ways? Has God not shown them their need for a Father in heaven? Has God not revealed to them their dependence upon him and his almighty power to teach them the way of divine wisdom? Those things are not from the devil, but tools of our Heavenly Father, the God of all providence. If you are in God's covenant, through faith in Jesus Christ, the devil cannot touch you. Oh, he can tempt you. and treat you scornfully, but he cannot touch your salvation nor your life without the will of your Father who is in heaven. All testing and trials are under the control of your almighty, sovereign, gracious Father. And what of the church today? Do we see our whole life and everything in it and everything around it through the eyes of the psalmist? Listen to him. Whoever is wise, let him give heed to these things. Let men consider the steadfast love of the Lord. Must we not confess that we, his children, so often have been foolish? Let us cry to the Lord, for he will deliver us by his providential mercy. Let us then be affected in every way by the power of his Holy Spirit. Do you believe in the providential mercy of God in misery? Our second point. Our text, however, does not stop with misery. The mercy and providence of God are also seen in deliverance. The church in our passage cried out to the Lord. They called upon the Lord. All things come not by chance, but by his fatherly hand. The providence of God is mercy in our misery is possible to confess because we have been delivered and redeemed by that mercy. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he has redeemed from trouble or misery. This also is providence, mercy in salvation. God provided us for a deliverer. Mercy means God does not let go. Even when we fail in sin, God does not let his children go, but delivers all of them. This is the mercy of the covenant. This is the mercy that the church proclaims. God gathers his own from lands, from many lands. God delivers from distress. God opens doors and bonds. God gives the hungry food. God gives the homeless a dwelling place. God comforts the sorrowing. God turns the desert into pools of refreshing water. God sends blessings to his people and multiplies them. How does God accomplish this? He sent forth his word and healed them and delivered them. God's word, the incarnate word, Jesus Christ, the inscripturated word, the book of the covenant, is sent to us that we might be redeemed. God delivers us through his covenantal word. God's saving grace comes to us by his word, the word of grace, which is able to build you up and give you the inheritance of God's wondrous salvation. Salvation comes not by chance, but from his fatherly hand. Salvation will not come because we have acted correctly. Nothing we can do can save us. Salvation comes because of our adoption as sons through the only begotten Son, Jesus Christ. Salvation comes because through Christ's death, we are adopted into the covenant and God is our Father for Christ's sake. God hears you, therefore. Because you are his child, he never lets his children go. Things therefore happen to his children not because we are lucky. They do not happen because it's a matter of fate. Things happen in my life and yours because the faithful Father hears and cries and calls of his covenant children for Christ's sake. Therefore, if you are in sorrow, distress, or need, call upon him. Believe in him. Trust in your heavenly Father for Jesus' sake. Be wise. Consider his steadfast love seen in the cross. He is a God of providence. He reveals his merciful, providential hand in deliverance. And lastly, our last point, God shows his providential mercy in misery and in salvation, but God reveals his providential mercy in thankfulness also. The psalmist not only records the cries of those in misery, he tells us not only of the redeemed, but he reveals the effect God's mercy has upon our lives. For with one voice they gave thanks. Let them thank the Lord for his steadfast love, for his wonderful works to the sons of men. Let them extol him. How do we give the Lord proper thanks for his providence? What proof that we have recognized his great mercy and confessed his providence in our everyday life? How does God want us to live then? How are we to be thankful to show that gratitude? The text begins here. Let them extol him in the congregation of the people. What people? The people of the covenant, the church of Jesus Christ. And praise him in the assembly of the elders. The Bible always ties our faith and our life to the church, to church membership and congregational life. Thankfulness to God's salvation is seen in how you view the body of Christ, how you faithfully gather with believers and worship your Heavenly Father. Faithful worship with God's people reveals what you really believe and confess concerning God's mercy and his providence. What does your life show? God has promised that here in the congregation he will show himself faithful. Here in the congregation, God shows his fatherly goodness and mercy. The Psalms are filled with this belief. Here is where God reveals his wisdom. Here we begin to understand God's almighty and ever-present power to save. Here is where divine wisdom is revealed. Here is where faith is to be strengthened so that we may live every day by faith in the God of providence. What is God's providence then? It is God's mercy in misery, in salvation, and in thankfulness. God's might is great. God's faithfulness will endure forever, and all that he has promised, he will do. He preserves me, for he is my God and Father for Christ's sake. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, for his steadfast love endures forever. Amen. Let us bow our heads in the prayer of response. Great is thy faithfulness, O God, our Father. There is no shadow of turning with thee. Thou changest not. Thy compassions, they fail not. As thou hast been, thou forever wilt be. Pardon for sin and a peace that endureth, thine own dear presence to cheer and to guide. Strength, strength for today and bright hope for tomorrow, blessings all mine and 10,000 beside. Father, forgive us when we doubt and we worry, forgetting that you are our providential God. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.